In anticipation of being here with you today, I spent a lot of time thinking about time. These past weeks, I have been reliving so much of the past that we shared together. I've been remembering big, important moments, as well as so many of those that seemed peripheral at the time. I've been noticing what's still the same, the covenant that still unites us, for example, and how much has changed since I moved on. How the world has changed, how the country has changed, how this denomination has changed, how our communities have changed, how I have changed. And there is both grief and satisfaction in these musings. And all of this has led me to wonder about the future, about what's ahead. Time clearly shapes who we are and our sense of what is possible, whether or not we pause to notice. There are so many things I want to ask you and share with you. But underlying all of that is the heartfelt message that I am so proud of you for taking this time to be fully present to the present, recognizing and honoring not only the influences of the past within the present and the pull of the future within the present, but also appreciating in real time that nothing and no one is ever peripheral. Everything matters. The details, the big picture, all of it, every choice, presence, absence, words, silence, intentions, actions. The present moment is such fertile ground, seeded and flowering with such abundance and beauty and potential, and that can be easy to overlook when we're so busy doing, bustling from moment to moment, week to week, responding to all the things that we can anticipate, as well as to the myriad of surprises. So many surprises this year. Within the present are seeds of every possibility. And it's become clear to me that those places built and sustained to encourage us to trust in the spaciousness of that vision of truth, to cultivate faith in it and bring our commitment to it, serve such an incredibly vital function. Over time, healing wounds, hidden not only in the sacred chambers of our hearts, but also in the chambers of our institutions, it can make all the difference when we take the time to notice where and who we are, where and who we were, and who we have it within us to become. Along those lines, a story. In my 20s, between jobs, I moved to Berlin and took a vow of silence. Unbound by schedules and forced social relations, I was privileged enough to have had time to confront, to process, to heal, and refocus my relationship with myself, with my values, and the world I'd been born into, to figure out who I am beyond the experiences, the external labels and expectations. I took time to figure out where I am rooted and sourced, what I needed and what I want to bring to this world, what I need to bring to this world, who I want to be, who I need to be. Learning to distinguish and to communicate essentials without words was not easy. But over time, the ability to key into other people's body language and energetics sharpened, and my heart opened in compassion for the soul wounding that seems to prompt so many of our spoken words. For those precious months, I lived in slow, mindful solitude and silence. The gap in my resume did raise some eyebrows when I returned, but it was so worth it. I had never felt quite as connected to life and fully present as I did then. And in the decades after, when employment obligations took center stage, I looked back wistfully at those days. But then the 2020 COVID restrictions began exactly 1 year ago this week. And I found myself living once again in slow, mindful isolation and largely in silence, this time not by choice. I move to share this with you now because I remember acutely the excitement of preparing finally to return home from Berlin, to get a job and reconnect with my friends and family. And I remember the pain of discovering that my vocal cords had atrophied. I could manage only a raspy whisper for the first week or so when I came home, and I was completely overwhelmed by the bustle and cacophony of the life I returned to. It took months to get my voice back after I got home, months to get back in the swing of things, and it never did feel the same as before because I'd changed. Ever since COVID appeared, my heart has ached for all that has been forcibly lost, the beloved people and the experiences consigned to memory. And I've worried about this collective focus on getting back to normal as quickly as possible. I've worried for a lot of reasons. One of them is that I recognize social atrophy within myself this past year. Anxiety when I'm in public spaces, exhaustion, impatience, introversion, bouts of depression. I'm just not used to high levels of interaction anymore. It's true what physical therapists say. If you don't use it, you lose it. It will likely take a long time for me to get back in the swing of things. And even so, I feel reasonably certain I'll never again be fully at ease in a crowded restaurant or a movie theater because I've changed. We all have changed. However much some of us may preoccupy ourselves still with day-to-day survival, or however much we may hold on to memories of how good things used to be, hoping and insisting that they should be exactly the same again, fearing, resenting perhaps any implication that it won't be, that it can't be. Not everyone can manage a gap year. I am very aware of that. And I'm not about to put a rosy spin on a year like the one we have just had. And what both of these experiences affirm for me is how important it can be, one way or another, and preferably by choice, to pause from the bustling and the doing, to take time to acknowledge our past, our experiences, who and where we were, who and what has been lost, what needs to be processed, what needs to be celebrated and integrated and grieved and healed and released and reimagined and replanted and watered and fertilized. We need time in order to recognize and recommit to the possibilities that most need to flower now, right now, whatever the circumstances. So I could leave it right there and hope that that is sermon enough for one day. But given that you've invited me to help you honor your journey through time as a congregation, I feel moved to reflect a bit on what I remember of my time with you and what I have learned since then. When I was first invited to serve this community way back when, I remember hearing with awe about how the vision of becoming a full-fledged, covenanted, Unitarian Universalist congregation was first planted like a seed in someone's living room, and how over the years, that vision was nurtured through steadfast attention to whatever needed to get done at any given moment, including every Sunday. Setting up chairs, putting out signs and name tags and hymnals and altar displays and unpacking coffee mugs and brochures. I remember that. Over the years, you had refined that Sunday bustle. You had it down to a science so that when folks arrived on Sunday morning, they could feel that this is a fertile place, a place where they could set down roots and be spiritually nourished, where they could feel and see and hear and experience for themselves that reality and begin to sense the possibilities. When I first joined you, there was talk of planning something big for the 10-year milestone, but there was also, as I recall, awareness of the cumulative strain of that highly refined Sunday morning bustle. The effort it took week to week to keep that up and to assure that our volunteer members could experience for themselves the welcoming spaciousness, the fertile soil, the empowerment and support and inspiration that they so lovingly prepared and protected for the benefit of others. There was growing awareness, as I recall, of the limitations that that bustle placed on the ability to do justice to the past, to reflect adequately on the beauty and impact of what had already grown within and among us in this congregation since that very first seed was planted in that living room. And it seemed as hard to find the time to honor the past as it did to adequately plan for the future, for what it would take to become more visible, more tangible, more sheltering, more empowering and healing and inspiring to more people. Because while opportunities abound, there's always something else that needs doing. I recall having many group conversations about identity, about how best to fertilize that original vision of planting a congregation so that what had planted and been planted and what had unfurled long before could continue to grow and flower in the Santa Clarita Valley. Along the way, we added becoming an official welcoming congregation to our identity. We explored and deepened UU identity through creative collaboration on worship and through things like theme-based ministry and spiritual reflection circles and community service. Together, we widened congregational and denominational identity through active participation in cluster and district events, and even for a while acquired a place where we could gather during the week for small group meetings and meditation and counseling and community visibility. The grand opening celebration at the Chalice Center was in part a celebration of the 10 years that it took for that particular flower to open. These are some of my favorite things, my favorite memories. Powerful shared ministry, all of it. And some of the biggest highlights of my professional path. I am thrilled to learn from Reverend Megan what you have done and become since then. What spiritual nectar has been harvested? What new seeds have been planted? Which leads me to share with you just a few of the things I have reflected upon since my farewell picnic in 2014. I share this because maybe it'll be useful to you as you continue to reflect on the way time has shaped this community and continues to call you into the future. First, I have learned to value the precious fragility of every single moment, every single encounter. Because as I look out onto this screen, I can't help but notice who is no longer here for whatever reason, whether by virtue of attrition, they moved away, whatever reason, or something far more drastic and permanent, like death. Back then, it seemed everyone present would always be among us, moving, shaking, influencing, inspiring, helping. This is a lesson in humility and gratitude, highlighted largely through the devastating losses of COVID this past year. Second, as much as it's important to look to the future, to have goals and to imagine where we want to be in the future, what I've learned is that all of that can get in the way of experiencing the positive things that are right in front of us, inside us, among us. When I was here with you, I was at that stage of my professional development that focused on the goal, ultimately, of serving a large congregation that I didn't have to commute to, one with a building and with staff. What I realize now is that goal, and all the time that I spent on the 405, kept me at times from truly treasuring the unique blessings of being part of this congregation. A younger, smaller congregation with less infrastructure, yeah, and therefore more opportunity for creative generosity. I sensed it then, but I really feel it now. Third, in retrospect, I realize I spent a lot of time cheering you on, urging you forward, advising and consulting in order to address your own sense of what you felt were your aspirations and your shortcomings. In doing that, I realize we really didn't spend enough time, as I see it now, celebrating and savoring the things you already did so well. Not just what you did, but who you already were. So yes, there were many accomplishments that I'm proud of having contributed to, but I also regret not having realized and told you often enough how enough you are. I distinctly remember that farewell picnic and not wanting it to end because I so enjoyed just being with you. All of this is to say, I don't believe that we should have to move away and take a vow of silence or live through a pandemic in order to recognize and appreciate, to claim and be enlivened by all the verities and realities of existence. It's all here, right now, in this moment, on this day. This is sacred ground. It is worthy, and you are worthy. This is what I've learned in the years between Berlin and COVID. Between my first encounter with this congregation and today. And I thank you for giving me this opportunity to realize and claim such learning, to share it with you. My wish for you for the next 20 years is that you continue to grow into the beautiful truth of who you are and have it within you to become, that you are never made to feel peripheral, and that you always center those who do feel that way. My wish for you for the next 20 years is that you not let the necessary bustle get in the way of the precious poignancy of each moment. Don't rush. Take time regularly to celebrate the ways in which we are woven together, ever rising and falling, always together, even when physically separated. for this moment and for the love of the next. May we each, in our own unique ways, forever interwoven, commit to being a blessing unto the world. So may it be.